We do live in troublous times. We hear it all the time. And if you listen to the news, it could almost scare you, especially when the president gets up and talks. I wasn't thinking that was funny. It's not. But, you know, we're told in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, there's some interesting points here that we need to take a look at, because this is reality. Now, our sermon isn't going to be on this morning. It's going to be on the reality of how God carries us through all of this. That's the reality we want to know. And that's how it relates to the disciples on the sea experience in the storm. But it says here in chapter 1, it says, and at that time, Michael shall stand up. Now, you know who Michael is, don't you? Michael is Jesus. Some people disagree with that, but Michael is Jesus. It's biblically true. He's the great prince which stands for the children of his people. And there is going to be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. A time of trouble such as never was. That's the storm on the sea. See? Michael is the one in the boat. But the time is coming when he's going to stand up. Because you see, he's coming again soon. And before you go somewhere, if you're sitting down, you have to stand up. And the thing is that the plan of salvation isn't going to be lasting as it is forever. In other words, there's going to come a time when the Lord says, okay, this is it, I'm coming. And it's going to be a time of trouble. Satan is going to be very active. He will try to destroy the world and everybody in it. But the last part of verse 1, point number 3, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. That's the key. And many of them that sleep in the dust shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Okay, when Jesus comes again, they'll be the saved and they'll be the lost. But verse 5, and this is nice, they that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever. So the Lord wants us to be good examples, doesn't he? He wants us to be representatives of Jesus, regardless of where we are, what we do, high or low. We're all representatives of Jesus. And if we know Jesus as our personal Savior, we are wise. But point number 3 is the one I really want to think about this morning. It says, thy people shall be delivered, every one that is written in the book. And to explore that, I'd like to turn over to Psalm 139. And ask yourself, as we look at this psalm, we're going to be covering most of it. Ask yourself, as we look at this psalm, you know, what does this really say about what we're talking about? Now, for some people, Psalm 139 is a very, very comforting psalm. I think it's a great psalm. I'd never really studied it that much before. But it's either going to be comforting to you, or it's going to be very uncomfortable for you, because it tells us one thing about God, and that is, he is very close, closer than you can even imagine. Maybe too close for comfort for some. For others, the joy of their life, because they know that they've always got somebody covering their back, so to speak. And so it's divided into 4 parts. We'll cover 3 this morning. And the first part is verses 1 to 6. And this is about the all-knowing, understanding God. And it's all about how these different characteristics relate of God relate to us personally. It says, Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Does that make you feel good? It does, doesn't it? Makes you feel good. He knows all about you. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, you know, the sparrows. There's a lot of sparrows. That's a pretty common bird. But he says, a sparrow doesn't drop to the ground, but God even knows that. And he says, how much more valuable are you than a sparrow? And so he searches me, and he knows me. He knows me. He knows you too, by the way. And then he gives three different situations here. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Not only does he know you, he knows when you sit down, he knows when you stand up, and he knows your thoughts even before you think them. Getting a little scary. Point number two, it says, thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Every single one of us has a different personality. And so to a certain extent, each one of us, even though there are similarities in personalities, he's acquainted with each one according to who we are and what we're like and how he made us. And he made us all different. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. And in verse 5 he says, thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Remember Job, the story of Job? The devil came to Job, to the Lord, and complained about Job. And the Lord said, you know, he's a good man. He said, yeah, he's a good man because you bless him and you take care of him. And in Job 1:10, it says that the Lord puts a fence around Job. Praise the Lord for that. So Job is protected. There's no question about it. God protects him. And you know, also, the Lord tells us that we should pray for our children because we can pray for our children and the Lord will put a fence around them. Now, sometimes our kids jump over the fence, but you keep praying for them anyway because, you know, it's important because we know that when we were that age, we were jumping over the fence too. So we're not, even though we're older, we're not really goody-goodies like we should have been. But we can pray a fence around our people and around our children. And God had a fence around Job. And the Lord said, okay, I'll take the fence away and we'll see what happens. Job remained faithful even when he faced trials and difficulties. And he definitely did. And we all face these trials and difficulties. Some of them are lifelong trials that will never go away, like Paul had with that thorn in his flesh that he couldn't get rid of. And he prayed three times. God said, no, I put that there to keep you humble. You're going to have to trust in me, and we'll come through this successfully. So that's God knows everything about you, and that's what that's saying there. Now, in verses 7 to 12, this is what it says. It says, whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? You can't even get away from him regardless of who you are. And I think that refers to the good and the bad. But we're not thinking of it, you know, in any bad sense. He says, we can't get away from him. And I don't want to, do you? Because I realize that I need him. And if I don't have him, I'm really just hanging out there all by myself. We need him. We need his spirit. and we need his presence. It says, if I ascend unto heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, that means the grave, behold, thou art there. I remember one time, this was quite a few years ago, we were going from San Francisco to Tokyo, Japan. And I'll tell you, that's a long trip. Up in the air, nonstop. You know, hour after hour, you look down, that old plane is still going along. You think, I hope it doesn't run out of gas. It's a lot of gas. It didn't run out of gas. You hope something doesn't happen and it drops down out of the sky. But the Lord says up there, he says, I know you. I know where you are. You're in the sky. If I ascend into the heavens, okay, you're there. And then in verse 9, he says, if I take the wings of the morning, that means as the sun comes up, the light flashes across the horizon, just like it has wings, you know what I mean? And dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. He says, I'm there. Isn't that nice to know? I mean, even if you're out on the water, God knows you're there. Can you think of a story in the Bible like that, like Jonah? In fact, Jonah said, throw me overboard. He must have either had a lot of confidence in God or he just wanted to die and get it over with so he didn't have to go to Nineveh. But Jonah shows us that even in the midst of the sea, that God is there. He knows where you are, and he has a way that he can take care of you. Just like Jesus in the boat with his disciples and the storm that came up like a flash flood. I remember one time when I was much younger, I was probably early 20s. We were out off in the area that I come from, we live fairly close to the ocean. It's called Long Island Sound. And we used to go out there fishing. There was a place out there called Faulkner's Island. It was about 5 miles offshore. It was a Sunday afternoon. And it didn't usually happen this way, but we were catching fish like crazy. Every time you dropped your hook in, there was a fish. and there was a big storm coming. And the waves were like this. And I remember thinking to myself, these waves are higher than our boat. And the boat was just kind of going up, but we were catching fish and we didn't really want to go back in. And we were more focused on the fish than the waves. Until we decided, you know, we better get back into shore. And we did. That's when I started worrying about where I was. But, of course, we made it back. We didn't have any problem. And I'm sure the Lord was with us. But even in the sea, and how treacherous can the sea get? I mean, that was nothing compared to how it really gets when there's a serious storm. The Lord takes care of us even in the sea. Ellen White was on a trip over to Australia one time. And while she was over there, the ship went through a terrible storm. I mean, to the place where they thought this big boat was going to sink. And she was totally relaxed, no problems at all. And she was asked about it. She says, no, the Lord's going to take care of us. We're on his mission. This is his project. And he is with us. And he will see us through. And of course, he did. It says in verse 10, even there shall thy hand lead me. That's through the sea. And thy right hand shall hold me. And verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about thee. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Now, what does this have to do with what we talked about over in Daniel chapter 12. It shows us that God is that close to us for a reason. And he's not going to let us He's not going to let us fall. He's not going to let us get killed before our time or die before our time. He is there. He has a purpose for our life, and that purpose will be fulfilled if we follow him. And he's saying he's always there, always willing to help, always strong in behalf of his people. Now, it's important to understand, I think, prophecy and the signs of the times. But sometimes we can focus on all this stuff, but we don't focus our attention on what the Lord is really trying to tell us. I will be with you through all of that. I remember one time we were in a storm. And the wind was blowing and it was raining hard. And you can kind of tell things just by the sound of the wind. And all of a sudden the wind was starting to blow and it was blowing harder. And all of a sudden there was like a whistle in the air and it was becoming higher and higher pitched. And it got to the place, I remember, when I said, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Because it was that sound, like something could seriously happen right now. Fortunately, we trusted in the Lord. Nothing did happen, except it took some shingles off our house. But, he was with us. Now, let's take a look at 13 through 18, because this is also vitally important. And it will show you, I think, show us, why we are so important to him. What difference does it make if something happens to me? As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't seem like a whole lot of difference. As far as the world is concerned, wouldn't be any difference at all. But in verse 13, notice what it says. It says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." What is he saying here? He's saying here, I knew you before you were born. And I covered you even there. I was covering you even there. Verse 14, he says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." As David looked at this is a psalm of David. As David looked at this, he said, human beings are incredible creatures. They're not like any of the animals. It's a totally new and distinct order from all the animals in all of creation. And God created us in a unique way in his image. And he's not just letting us slip away. "Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Do you know that? Do you know your value? Can you say, "I know my value right well"? It's there. I know it. Now, I'm not valuable as far as the world is concerned. None of us probably are. But we know that in God's sight, we're valuable because he created us a new and distinct order from all the other creations. And he has a plan for us, not just in this life, but throughout the endless ages of eternity. Now notice what it says in verse 15. It says, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret." Before you were born, nobody knew about you. They knew about you, maybe. They didn't know anything seriously about you. "And curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." The lowest parts of the earth is just a poetic way of saying inside of my mother. Before I was born. Verse 16, it says, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect." In other words, even when I was the smallest little embryo, maybe no bigger than the head of a pin, God was there watching me, watching this seed develop. "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." So, I often wondered at one time how God knows, okay, say Jonah got eaten up by a fish and he didn't get put back on the land. Jonah would be gone forever. How about people that have been dead for thousands of years and they're in the grave, they're totally disintegrated, they've returned to the soil just like the Lord says they would, and they're gone. There's no resemblance of them whatsoever. How is God going to put it all together? Well, when it says that they are in his book, that means he's got who you are, what you are, how you're made up, mentally, physically, spiritually, personality-wise, and every other way. And he has the ability to pull that all back together again and make you again, regardless of what has happened to you in the past. Now that brings up another subject, which is a hot subject for today. A real hot subject. Not so much here in our church, but you're going to see what I'm talking about. This is a statement that was made in the Review and Herald, November 30th, 1869. It says, one of the most shocking and one of the most prevalent sins of this generation is what? What do you think it's going to say? Is the murder of unborn infants. You see, it's a pretty hot subject in the world today, isn't it? One of the most shocking and one of the most prevalent sins of this generation is the murder of unborn infants. Let those who think this is a small sin read Psalm 139:16. We just read it. They will see that even the unborn child is written in God's book. It says, and they may be as well assured that God will not pass unnoticed the murder of such children. Abortion is called murder. I'm glad, aren't you? We could have all been murdered. And I was really surprised. I had never read that book. I'd never read that quote. But it was, I found it just as a result of studying Psalm 139:16. It just came. Now that doesn't mean that if you have had an abortion that you are forever lost, because God has made atonement for our sins. If we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, confess our sins, realize that we've made mistakes, you know, we can go on from there and be totally and completely forgiven, as if it had never happened. So, if this is the case, if this is the case with us, you know, going back to Daniel chapter 12, we're in good hands. It says, and thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Well, this is the book of life, of course. There's more than one book. There's one book that's all about you and who you are. And God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, in closing this morning, I don't know why we have so much time this morning, but closing this morning, turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. In all the trials of life and all the difficulties, even as we face an uncertain world and scary situations in the political world, It says, therefore, in verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. Isn't that what we're looking for? Peace in the midst of a troubled world? And justified by faith? That's like I just mentioned beforehand. If we're guilty of any of these sins, then we go to Jesus. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we are justified by faith as we put our faith and confidence in Jesus. What he did for us on the cross brings justification to us so that we don't have to pay the penalty for our mistakes and sins because he's already paid the price for us. And he's made this incredible offer, which is beyond imagination, that he says, I will just apply my atonement to you, so you are saved by my blood. It doesn't seem fair. Doesn't seem fair to him, but it's the good news. So it says that in this justification that we can have through Jesus Christ, we can have peace in a troubled world. We can have peace as we face the time of trouble because we know that God is there. He will never leave us. He knows everything about us. He knows everything that involves our lives personally. The middle of the ocean doesn't bother him. Up in the sky doesn't bother him. It doesn't make any difference if it's night or day. He's there, and he's with you. Verse 2, by whom we have access by faith into his grace. His grace is that he is gracious toward us. That means he likes us. And that means he's there for us. That's what grace is all about. Wherein we stand. So we're not sliding around. We're not saying today great, tomorrow not so great. Today, no, it's every day in his grace. We stand there. We stand there and we stand firmly, we stand solidly, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were what? Yet sinners, Christ did what? Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from what? Wrath to come. What's that? When God's wrath is poured out in the great time of trouble, it's going to be a mess like you've never seen before. But God has promised to put his angels in charge of you to keep you in all your ways and to carry you through. Now, it doesn't mean that we won't have trials and difficulties. We definitely will, beyond imagination. But Jesus had trials and tribulations too, didn't he? And his Father saw him through. As his Father saw him through, he will see us through. So may the Lord bless us this morning and give us strength and courage to face each day with courage and with joy. See? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How many would like to say, I want Jesus to give me that peace this morning? Praise the Lord.